Hi, it's Lynn. Lynn Simons. It's The Flip Side. Welcome to the show. And got a really exciting show here for you today, talking about something very positive happening in the community. And it also gives you a chance to get involved. So especially if you're interested in the neighborhoods and in the environment. So welcome, Colby.
Hi, my name is Colby. I am the program director for the Environmental Health and Justice at REC. And I've been involved with REC about close to 6 months, but you know, the experience is great. And my role as a coordinator for the environmental health, myself, I've been in Worcester for close to 6 years, and it's been great. And a lot of challenges over here that now, you know, I'm sitting at the REC, you know, planning and helping create a better environment for the Worcester. I mean, what more can you get? And it's been great. So I'm looking forward to have more positive changes in the environment and in the community, and you know, bring all this together.
Oh, welcome. Thank you. It's good to have you. Always good to have you. And who are you?
Hi, I'm Benito Vega. I'm the community organizer and outreach coordinator for the REC and the Environmental Health and Justice Program that Colby just mentioned, and you know, bringing awareness to the community, trying to organize around the community on all these environmental health and justice and injustices that we have here in the city of Worcester.
See, that's important. People don't, you know, I think that sometimes people don't understand how important the environment is, and that it is an example of social injustice when the environment is not working for us, when we're not being protected in where we live and where we work. And whether that be your workplace or where your house is located or where your kids go to school. And the only way that that can be protected and those barriers taken down are with organizations like the Regional Environmental Council, because you're conscious of, you have the knowledge and you understand what it means by environmental social justice. And the two roles that you play are very important, because that's called educating the community to what their rights are and what the responsibility of the system is, and also what their responsibility is to make the environment safe. So let's talk a little bit about some of the program you're doing.
REC as an organization, you know, has done a lot of projects. You know, we picked some off, you know, within some years and dropped them, you know, based on a lot of resources that we have. But currently, we have about 5 ongoing projects. Probably I'll go a little more detail, but led by step by step on the way. But
so you have a website, so we're going to put that up underneath your names. So you know, if you want to learn more about these particular programs. Because there's great volunteer opportunities that we're talking about.
Absolutely. Right. Yep. So with the help of REC and the city secured, you know, a couple of dollars to do this lead abatement program, and which probably, you know, you have heard about it, but the community, a lot of people don't even know about it. So REC is helping coordinate an outreach group to help folks, you know, especially people with, you know, low income budget to have access to this grant to delay their house. And it's also available to businesses, but you know, it's an income eligibility program, so they might, you know, put in a couple of dollars, but you know, especially with low income, it's, you know, you might have it for
especially if you just bought a house, maybe a 3-decker or a 6-family, and you want to rent, and you'd like to rent to children under 6, and you just can't run that risk without having de-leaded. So it's important to, and not only do you get to write the grants, you learn about the process.
Right.
Yeah, which is the most important thing. Yes. You learn what you're getting into when you do that de-letting, which is very important.
And it's only, you know, again, like Colby mentioned, the money is there for the community. Right. Folks don't know it's even out there. So it's our job, our roles that we play for the REC. It's advocating for this money, letting them know it's here for you.
Take and how you get it and take it.
How do you get it, the legal aspects of it, tenants' rights behind all this stuff, the landlord's right, and it's not about creating animosity between anybody. You know, it's just
educating,
taking care of our communities all the way around,
knowing what to expect.
Yes,
yeah, I think it's so exciting that there's an organization that you get this free advice.
Right.
It's free advice just for asking questions.
We do workshops in many several areas, including with the volunteers that we have, because leadership development in our organization is big. Yeah. That's one thing we focus on besides getting information on resources out to the community. But we do a lot of workshops, you know, around the lead poisoning, the lead awareness, the lead education and prevention, the legal aspects of it. And, you know, like Kobe said, REC coordinates a coalition of like 27 different organizations.
Right.
And this includes, you know, local nonprofit organizations.
Huh? Yeah. Wow, 27 organizations.
Yep, 27. And I
housing, what kind of organizations? Housing?
Yeah, so we have, you know, housing organization. We have immigrant and, you know, refugee assistance organization on our team. We also have the city. Mm-hmm. We have the Department of Public Health. Mm-hmm. We have other great organizations like, you know,
because we're talking about a healthy, safe community.
Yes.
And that's everybody has a right to that.
Absolutely.
And so many people suffer from environmental injustice.
Mm-hmm.
They live at the end of the dump. Nobody helps them with understanding about that lead's not just in the water, but it's also in the earth. And, you know, so that's what's really good about this outreach. And I've seen a big growth in the outreach. And that more and more people are becoming aware and educated. And I think one of the real strengths you have is you're starting to have a very diverse group of volunteers, all ages, all from all different cultures and so on and so forth. And that's what a city's about.
Yes, because it's very important for us in the REC, like you said, have a diversity team and community where we're not only educating the community, but we're also taking responsibility and holding ourselves accountable, because you just mentioned healthy communities.
Right.
You know, be responsible for your community. Let's play a role in our community.
Yeah.
Not all of us like it, but, you know, if we all chip in a little bit.
If everybody, you know.
That's all it takes.
You know, if everybody, you know, like I had a food drive the other day at the in my town where I work, and I said, if everybody gave one can, we're ahead of the game.
Yes,
we're
absolutely
ahead of the game. Yeah. And I think now that, I always say that people have some extra time because they may not be working, their hours been cut. Don't stay home. Get involved.
Get
you know,
involved.
Meet new people.
Yeah,
right. So what other things can they do if they came to the...
We also have one of the big projects we work on a year basis is the Earth Day Cleanup.
Yep.
We're looking to one of the projects we're also looking to do is with that Earth Day cleanups is subdivide that up to like 6 or 7 neighborhood cleanups throughout the year leading up to this big event.
Yeah,
where people can stay engaged all year round and take care of the community.
Yeah, that's a
we
great
have
idea.
That one, the Earth Day and neighborhood cleanups.
Yeah.
We have the diesel pollution.
Tell me a little bit about that. Yeah.
The diesel pollution is, you know, basically taking care and retrofitting buses who burn all these diesel
fuel. I think I see a couple electric buses now, am I right?
Yes.
That's
there
good.
Is.
Yeah, that's good.
And last year, in partnership with the Worcester Youth Center, we retrofitted, I think it was 34, Kobe, if I'm not mistaken,
school buses.
Oh, great.
To reduce
now, how
the
you
amount.
Do that? What was involved in that plan?
Well, so we have a partner in Boston, the Clean Water Action. They are also very countrywide, but they have sub-local offices that help with you know, all things concerning environment. Name is Clean Water Clean Water Action.
Clean Water Action.
So yep. So they have a rep who, you know, coordinated with REC, you know, thinking about what are the other projects or other pertinent environmental threats in Worcester that we can, you know, both work on. So one of the things that they identified was diesel pollution and, you know,
great
cars
yeah.
doing, you know, trucks doing anti-idling.
So that's not a, so is that a costly process or is that?
It wasn't a costly process. So they, you know, get involved with the youth and the youth, you know, really.
Geez, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So the young
the
people.
Project.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And advocated for, hey, you know, it's a first start, but if we get involved and, you know, retrofit some of our, you know, school buses, that would be great. So based on that, we were able to, you know, retrofit about 34 buses and that was great.
Yeah, it is great.
Well, you know, especially when It's school buses, it's kids, you're a kid. It's just like it's like a chain reaction.
And this is stuff we don't think about.
Right.
You know, a normal person wouldn't think about this.
Well, first really of all, you wouldn't think it could happen. I think you're stuck with that old bus forever, spitting out diesel, right?
Right,
yeah.
Until somebody gets sick. So
yeah,
how
right.
can we, right. you know, get stuff done or get stuff, you know, out there where folks can be aware of the dangers that's out there.
That's a great
there,
project. You know? Yeah.
So we do that. We also have the community mobilization project as well, which is, you know, conserving energy. How can we, you know, save ourselves some money as well as saving energy?
So they get that
resources.
Abatement kind of program. Is that part of the abatement program too, with the energy, with the
So what it does is, with the help of their stimulus money that, you know, most states receive, the state of Massachusetts received a couple dollars. I think, you know, over time we received close to about 100 million or something to do energy efficient and, you know, weatherization you know, projects.
Right.
So based on that, our partner in Boston, IRC, got involved in doing this outreach. And, you know, what it does is the state of residents in the state of Massachusetts pay, you know, a couple cents on our utility bill. Through the energy and utility companies, and the money has been sitting down for a long time.
Right.
So now we're using that money to help folks sign up for free energy audit. So
that's cool.
If you have, you know, as a tenant or a landlord,
right.
so far as you're paying for utility bills, you qualify. So IRC, what we are doing is, you know, how can we make a lot of folks aware that, hey, there's
take this, advantage of this.
Take
free
advantage
money.
Of this.
Yeah,
you know, it's free money. So
helps not you, but also your community.
It helps our community, you know, and the goal is to reduce, you know, CO2 about 25%, you know, by the end of the project. And it's been very, kind of the community has received it very well.
Yeah, now they know about it. Thank goodness they know about it. They don't put a big sign up.
It's very simple, like Kobe said, you know, how can we educate the community and reduce our CO2s by 25%? You know, because some of us, for an example, we might have left our offices today without shutting off our computers, leaving our cell phone chargers plugged in. All this stuff we're not aware of pulling energy.
Yeah, I think that we need to take the word green and define it.
Yep.
You know, green to me is kind of nebulous.
Yep.
But if you understand that green means that if you do this at home, if you do that, you're going to see over time not only a savings of energy and money, but also the air and what you breathe and your environment.
And besides that, you know, Worcester and, you know, our small communities, kind of the microcosm of, you know, what is happening nationally, you know, because we have to reduce our energy. We can't depend on, you know, foreign oil for, you know, a long time. So there has to be alternatives. And I think there are a lot of alternatives that probably won't cause any disaster when there is a
or inconvenience
or inconvenience or anything. So
make it more thoughtful, though.
Absolutely.
Which would be great.
Yeah.
I mean, what's wrong with that?
Hey, people just not taking advantage of the resources that are out there. That's our concern. You know, like Kobe mentioned, there's money sitting out there, whether it's for the energy saving project or diesel or lead poisoning. This is money that's available to the community.
Right.
Call up, take advantage of it, you know.
Right.
Go through the process, see if you qualify.
Yeah. And the important thing, too, is that small little action becomes a big domino effect, and sooner or later our whole community starts to benefit from
Absolutely.
It. Our children, our grandchildren, the spaces that we work in. Yeah.
And since I'm, you know,
it's sort of fun. Why don't people have fun anymore doing
Absolutely.
Stuff? You know what I mean?
It's kind of fun.
You kind of make a little plan, you know, and you work it out, and then you start to see a result. And then somebody comes in your house and says, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I got this thing." And then that's how you pass it on to other people. You know?
That's right.
Right.
And I have, you know, since being involved in this project, you know, helped me a lot too. Kind of look differently how I use and conserve energy.
Right.
I mean, first I was very
Make
conscious
a little game
I
out of it, right?
You know, background from the environment,
right.
but still, you know, this project has taught me a lot about, you know, the little pieces of things that we can do in our home that, you know,
make a big difference. And I think it's a great way for parents to engage their children and make them part of the the energy saving that goes on in the house. They teach them, yeah, to shut the light out or make sure your computer's off or so on. Yeah.
The game, you know, I'm in the middle of the game, hey, I gotta go, and they don't shut the game off. So, you know, little children can benefit. Hey, you can save the game, and there's technology. You can just save it and, you know, shut it off and go, come back and, you know.
Come back whenever, but you don't have to come back, you know, 3 days later.
So, and that's our goal in the REC is grow awareness, you know, create create healthy and safer communities, you know. In our program, like he mentioned, Kobe mentioned the Environmental Health and Justice Program, we concentrate on all these issues, you know, healthy homes, diesel pollution, lead, what is it, the Earth Day neighborhood cleanup. But also we have, you know, the food justice teams, we have the youth grow teams, the community gardens, the school gardens. And this is all, you know, based on the environment, you know what I mean?
I just think it's wonderful that you can, the thing I like about living in Maine South is that you can go to a community garden. And you can go to up to Oriad Street and have free vegetables, go to the block party. How that enriches the community. It makes it green in a different way.
I think green in a different way.
And you have so many people that volunteer to keep that garden going. I can remember when I was a kid, growing up, my mother used to say, she lived on Belmont Hill. She lived on right where the police station is now. That every night she'd walk up and she'd water her garden. And her garden was just broken glass. You know what I'm saying? So there was always a community garden at, up near the pond, up at Bell Pond. And that, and then she, that's where she learned how, and then when she got older, they gave her seeds. And, you know, and it was part of her happy part of her childhood.
That is one thing we do. You know, we usually every year we have our spring sale. Our plant sale. And then we have the seedling sale over here at the YMCA. So you know, that's a whole bunch of ways we could get involved. A lot of resources we have.
You just need a little piece of dirt, you know, and you can grow a couple tomato plants.
We even instruct you, give instructions and workshops on how these gardens can be
deleted,
and built.
Put a geranium there, Don't put it on the grave. Put it in the, in your yard, and that'll take it away. So, and I think the other thing too is that the young kids have gotten involved. You know, students, youth, and that they like the work because it's. They get to know each other, breaks down barriers. I always say we don't have enough time in school for kids to socialize. So when they can work on this project and then they can, you know, I think everybody likes to produce something. You know, like to see their work come to fruition. And what better way to do that but in a garden or cleaning up lead or making something safe for people.
Being part of a project of cleaning up your neighborhoods.
Take pride in where you live. And
Absolutely. We had a group of youth, I think it was a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, where we went around and cleaned up Maine South. You know, and these are youth from that area. And it was so great, great to see, because some of these kids come together, showed up. Well, one of these girls, Kobe could probably tell you the story better than I can, but one of these girls showed up with like an attitude of, I don't want to be here. But then after she's got involved, got into the project, Kobe started showing her the connection of the community. This girl opened up, and she was beating him like, Kobe, catch up. What are you doing back there?
Yeah, and the thing is that I think that sometimes it's so important to have good role models like yourself that don't dictate but allow them to learn and to break down those barriers and get to to understand that there can be good relationships with adults. And that you're all, and everybody's doing it together. I mean, I used to say to my students when I taught middle school, I don't tell you to do something that I haven't done myself. You know, that's my job is, and I used to join right in and do it with them.
That's the only way we could motivate folks. Be part of the project.
Be part of the project.
How am I going to tell, you know, for an example, Kobe, let's do this project, but I'm sitting back here. You know, there's no...
And people always say to me, you're never in the office. I said, well, what am I doing in the office? I mean, I need to be out in my community meeting people and working with them.
Absolutely. That's what one of the things we do in the REC is projects, it's a team project, yeah, right. not an I right. project. Mm-hmm. We try to diminish that I word from right. our conversations as a we thing. You know, mm-hmm. let's work on this together. Let's do this. What, you know, what does the group want? What does the volunteers want? Because basically that's all we look for sometimes is a sense of to fit in.
Right.
Yeah, okay, do I fit in here? Welcome and feeling. Right. Yeah. And that's what we give at the REC.
And the other thing, too, is when you have volunteers, it makes for a richer organization. Mm-hmm. Because the people that work there also get to meet the people that live and are interested in being involved. And they have great ideas, too.
Yeah, yes.
You know,
absolutely.
You know,
we learn from them all the time, right. as well as they learn from us. So.
Yeah. How'd you think this worked? And mm-hmm. not from a critical, but from a constructive point of view, they say, well, I thought this really worked, but I thought maybe we could also try this next time.
One, yeah.
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 Because they're out there seeing it and seeing the response. And I think that organizations like yours with such, you know, large goals and such a large mission of educating the community to life things, acquire knowledge, is sometimes harder than a book.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, people don't want to admit they don't know these things.
Yep.
Yeah. I say sometimes people don't vote because they've never voted before and they don't want to be embarrassed. They're so worried about being embarrassed. How silly is that, huh?
Yeah, it is.
I'm embarrassed all the time. I screw up all the time.
Yeah, but if we don't ask.
Yeah, right. You'll
never
learn.
Never know.
You'll never learn.
Never know.
And I think that welcoming is, when I get in there, you got like this whole group of things I can do. Mm-hmm. And I think I also hear that you can do it on your own time, you
yes.
know, and there's stuff you do on the weekends.
Yep, you know, a couple weekends. Because one of the great things, you know, about you know being able to organize community is sometimes you cannot organize, you know, all around on the weekdays. So
right.
there are times that you mm-hmm. know we roll our sleeves and you know work right. on the weekends. So mm-hmm. Yep, we've done a lot of tabling, you know, participating in community events, and we take advantage of community events to,
definitely.
You know, disseminate literature about lead, you know, energy savings, you know,
right.
whatever we have. But absolutely, these, you know, youth coming, mm-hmm. especially working with the youth students, they were very helpful. And, you know, one other thing that we help them, and they help us in another way, is, you know, we do not define the time that, you know, they can participate, even though some of them were some service learning project for mm-hmm. school, you know, we were so flexible that, you
yeah.
know, we could
That's a great way for kids, young people to get involved and get a love of something and then become a volunteer.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're very flexible with time. Mm-hmm. We try to accommodate their times and needs mm-hmm. and when they can be there. And being that they're asking for the time,
right.
you know, why wouldn't we,
yeah,
you know,
right.
roll up our sleeves, like Kobe just mentioned, right. and be there
Give
for
them something they want to do and that they feel comfortable with.
Yeah, we're yeah. very flexible with time.
Right.
We work around their
yeah.
schedule,
right.
you know, and, you know, we still have to complete yeah. our work, but they're the most important person right. when, you know, they're right. in our office, they're the most important person.
Yeah, so how do you get funded?
Well,
a lot of grants.
There's a lot of grants. I mean, like you said before, our mission and our goals are so large
right.
but you know with this economy that we are in now, like, you know, mm-hmm. all state and local funders have tightened their budget, you know, it's only God who knows how we are thriving in this economy, but most of our projects, you know, are funded through, like, you know, organizations
mm-hmm.
who are interested in, you know, getting the word out. So
right. So partnership. You do a lot of collaboration. That's the other secret.
You know.
Right? When I hear 27 organizations working around that one initiative, it's
yes.
exciting to me. Because
yeah.
you never hear about that. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks the world is going to hell in a handbasket. There's nobody interested in these things. But I think in a lot of ways, people are starting to be a little more choosy about what they work on.
Mm-hmm.
But when they pick something, they get committed to it.
Yeah, you have to be passionate about what
right.
you pick,
mm-hmm.
and you know
right.
what topic and issues you
mm-hmm.
want to work on. And being, you know, healthy communities and, you know, lead poisoning and prevention, that's everybody.
Right.
You know, it
yeah.
has a passion for
it. We all benefit from that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, with all these 27, you know, organizations, you know, helping us probably even more nowadays, but, you know, not everybody even, you know, have any type of, you know, receive any resources or funding. You know,
know,
it's just out of concern that
right.
they really want to see the city get eliminate lead in the city.
I know a lot of people that, you know, a lot of organizations kind of fit it into their mission, and they just maybe share staff or time, but it's, I know. It's just, it's an interesting world, social services. We all kind of, we have a passion for what we do, but we also have a great sense of humanity and social justice and human justice, and I just wish more of us could get... money. I mean, we're not looking at a lot of money compared to the money that gets put on projects. We're looking at money that would be productively used and make a difference in all the communities.
Sustainable money.
Sustainable, right.
Sustainable money is what we look for, partnership, collaboration, and building relationships.
Make the community healthy. So one of the areas that REC is currently, you know, with all these, you know, 30 people, 27 people helping out this, you know, we will be still working on the lead issues, but we're moving, you know, to an area of, like, you know, have a comprehensive overview of, like, all the other environmental health threats in the home. So we're talking about mold, lead, you know, asbestos, accidents in the home, the elderly and the children, injury. So that is, you know, our kind of strategic, you know, vision for the next.
Which is a good idea, because that lends itself to a larger group of people to collaborate with, and additional probably funding sources.
Absolutely.
And it brings in more relationships, like Kobe mentioned. So, you know, we're looking to transition into more of a healthy home.
Healthy home, healthy community.
Aspect, you know, so right now we're in the early stages in our conversation, but that's, you know, one of our larger goals.
But that would also impact in a positive way your present goal.
Yeah,
it would just... give more coverage to it and more help. That's a great idea. That's a great idea. How many people on your board, roughly? You may not know exactly. 12, 15?
Yeah, maybe about 12, 15.
Yeah. And I think they're really pretty active, too.
And January 10th.
What is January 10th?
Yeah, it's an opportunity, it's an annual meeting. It's an opportunity to nominate, you know, community members who we think will be a good fit for the IRC and especially, you know, Main South, you know.
So when do you hold that meeting?
Yep, we will be holding it in the Wu Church. It's
911
Main Street.
That's
and
good.
It's open to everybody. So if the community and Main South, Piedmont neighborhood knows, you know, any member who would think would be a
great
good fit for our vision and goals.
Because that's January 10th.
January 10th.
What time?
At 6.
Great, over at 9/11 Main.
And it's open to the public.
Yeah, definitely. I might be interested in going to
it. Yeah, it's a very good event.
We're down to our last couple of minutes, so how would you like to close? What would you like to say to my viewers?
Well, we want to tell the viewers, you know, IRC is an open door organization. They can always come by. We have a lot of resources if they want to read, you know, use our computers. There's a lot of volunteer opportunities over there too, and we learn from them, they learn from us, and, you know, our goal is to help, you know, eliminate all the environmental health threats in Worcester. So they should feel free and give us a call or just pop in.
And we have your website up so they can find out too how to get involved.
Yep. There's internship opportunity as well, volunteering, like Kobe mentioned, resources. Tons of resources.
Building relationships.
Absolutely. And we're located at 9 Castle Street.
Which is right in the mix, which makes it exciting, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a wonderful community, Main South. Yeah, people should come and learn about the treasures there. I've lived on both sides of the district, but Main South is a walkable, fun place, and you do great things. And I want to say to people, if you're interested in volunteering, please do. It's a great organization.
Please do, yes.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Yep. And don't forget, January 10th, 9/11 Main Street, their annual meeting. Come to learn more. And it'll be a great community meeting. So thanks a lot. Thanks for everything.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thanks for being here. We'll be right back.
I knew it wasn't going to be easy. Some things take a while to come back.
3, 2,
champions!
But I've got some good buddies. I guess they're helping me figure it out. Being used to doing something with a cigarette makes it hard to do it without one. But if I can relearn to hang out with my friends without cigarettes, then I can relearn anything without cigarettes.
Relearn life without cigarettes. Free at becomeannext.org. A new way to think about quitting.